Welcome in, everybody. It is Inside the Gamecocks, the show. We are live from the mountains to the sea in the great state of South Carolina, coast to coast, nationwide, and worldwide via the Chief Sports Network app. I am Phil Mad Dog Mullinax, cutting through the orange fog of the upstate of South Carolina, and as always, my co-host, J.C. Sherbert. Yes, we did. We threw it back to the intro just to bang out some GNR to kick off the program, because as you can see from my visual audience, my man JC has on his Star Spangled headband.
Yes.
An homage to a one Axl Rose.
Yeah. It's also for my friend Ryan, who it's good that he got a job, right? Because he needed a job.
Always good when your friends get jobs. Yes.
But he didn't, you know, and he lived in Wisconsin, you know, and he moved south for the job. And so he was going to come down and come. Last time I went to see Guns N' Roses was in 16 at the Georgia Dome, right before they blew it up, the Georgia Dome. That was one of the last events they held there. He went, and I think he had this exact headband on, and we had a blast. It was great. So it was a really tight show too, musically. So We had fun, and we're going to have fun tonight, the wife and I, going to see GNR. Public Enemies opening for them. I think that's interesting. Chuck D, Flava Flav, still kicking it after all these years.
I know, right?
All
right.
I'm there.
An unlikely pairing when they were at their peaks, right?
Yeah. Well, they've done stuff like this before. Like, they're playing in L.A. later, and Ice Cube's opening for them. I tell you, the show I really regret not going to.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, when Chicago gets hot, dude, it's really miserable,
yeah,
especially downtown. What is it, like 100 degrees?
Yeah.
And this concert was at Wrigley. It started at 5:30 in the afternoon. Ooh. Early, right? 6:30 start time tonight with them. But it was Guns N' Roses, but the Pretenders opened.
Oh.
And then Smashing Pumpkins, which Billy Corgan lives in Wrigleyville, so it's easy for him to come over. Smashing Pumpkins was the second opening act.
Nice.
And I was like, the Pretenders?
Pretenders,
I mean, they right? have some. Yeah. That's an unlikely opening half for Guns N' Roses.
Right.
But man, I was like, dang, I almost just wanted to rock and go see them and then go get a beer and hang out in the shade. But
that's right.
But no, it's going to be fun tonight. I've taken two breaks this summer. And this is the second one. First was for the wing eating contest in Columbia, which is awesome. And we're really looking forward to that. We have a lot going on work-wise and moving and all this good stuff. So be good to go see GNR. And I have done some research on this latest world tour. Axl does sound better with his vocals. And
yeah,
I guess he's been doing some treatment and taking some lessons. They got the backing vocals, like I said yesterday, and all of that. The McKellar Enterprises chat box. I'm just going to start here on the most recent one to work my way back. Gamecock 346 says, hope you and your wife have a wonderful time at a Guns N' Roses concert. You deserve a day off. Have a great time and be safe.
Yeah, man.
346 says, that's bad. Not even the South's not that bad. At least the ones my parents say. Yeah, I'm used to the heat. I don't, but then when it's hot here and like when you're going downtown, you need, especially to Wrigley, you got to take public transportation. And air conditioning sometimes is optional on those things. And then she'd had to get off work early. But I do kind of regret that. Cockweed says John Connor wore a Public Enemy shirt in Terminator 2 with GNR blaring from his dirt bike, 6 degrees of Axl. He did.
That's right.
Had that Public Enemy t-shirt on his bike, and you could be mine. Roger says about Woodruff Aiden Gibson, the running back that graduated early, went to Penn State. He says, won't be talking about Aiden Gibson. We still are down there scratching our heads about him pulling that. Yeah, and you got to wonder, I mean, I don't know. Look, my concern whenever something like this happens, because look, South Carolina's gotten players
right
early. I mean, their thing is, and I can confirm this, they don't put pressure on guys to graduate early. You know, Sequel Patterson, Jordan Gideron, Donovan Murph were ready to go, and they came to them from what they said. But, you know, it's one of those things where if you're going that far from home, Is there a difference between Fort Mill to Columbia or Columbia to Columbia, like those guys did? They're going Woodruff to, you know,
the middle of nowhere, Pennsylvania.
It's Rutgers. So it's
Piscataway. Oh, Rutgers. That's right. Yeah, I thought
Pennsylvania. Which is outside of New York City. I mean, that's a suburb of New York City.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're talking about welcome to the jungle. And I've been to the Rutgers campus. It's a regular old college campus. It's not like, but you're right there. I mean, I don't know, man. I don't know. I always hope that the kid becomes well adjusted and all that good stuff.
Yeah.
So, you know,
I wonder if there's some sort of family connection there. It's interesting. No, you know, because
there wasn't. Yeah. He locked in on them because I think they were paying.
Oh,
you know, the Penn State and, you know, Penn State made sense for a running back. You know?
Yeah.
There's been a lot of players from South Carolina to go to Penn State that have done well. And that's a different environment. You know, State, but I think Rutgers is, you know, the Shiano part two never works out.
No,
right. Even if it starts okay. And that's become a tough job. I mean, dude, they had two top 10. That's a tough job in all sports. They had two top NBA draft picks on their basketball team a few years back. Went 15 and 17.
Right.
Two. Like, you got one. I mean, that's like, I mean, that team with Ben Simmons at LSU went 19 and 14 with two studs. And that dude got fired and they turned down the NIT when teams were not turning down the NIT because it was that disappointing. They had a winning record.
Mm-hmm.
Rutgers had a losing record in the Big Ten, which is a good basketball company. It's just like, good Lord, you know. So Rutgers has it. About, hey, I hope Aiden Gibson goes up there and tears it up. You know, they. It's, you know, Shiano is not a bad guy or a bad coach, regardless of what Tennessee fans on Twitter said about him. But, and I like Rutgers fans. They used to call the Bill King show when I was on and ask about Rutgers recruiting. But they have a, you know, we talk about in-state recruiting a lot around here. They have a huge problem keeping guys at home.
Right.
And they are 10 years of winning at a relatively high clip away from reversing that. Like, whereas South Carolina, you know, once Lou Holtz and Steve Spurrier got there and they started winning and upgraded facility, you know, they started making improvements. Yeah, okay, we're gonna stay close, go to Carolina.
Right.
But Rutgers, even with winning and turning it around, from even getting like their share of talent in New Jersey, it's just been that way for 50 years. Top New Jersey kids just leave the state.
Yeah.
You know, they may go to Penn State, Ohio State. They may go south, but they're gone, gone. And then Syracuse out evaluates their butts with the next tier,
right?
Mm-hmm. If Syracuse will go take four or five guys out of Jersey and they're studs. How do Rutgers miss these guys? Syracuse plays in a basketball arena. It's colder there than it is
right in the very cold.
I don't know. I don't know what's going on. But thanks for that, Roger. Be sure to check out fourquarterfriday.com for the latest on your Wolverines. Luke asked where I live in Chicago. I live in the southwest suburbs. And that's where the concert is. It's in a place called Tinley Park.
Oh, he asked why.
Oh, because of my wife.
Yeah, the reason's in the chat box.
Yeah. step kids. I'm coming back. So, Game Guy 346 says, I hate to say this, JC, but you remind me of Willie Roberts from Duck Dynasty with that headband. Well,
you know, yeah.
You know, I look like Kenny Rogers the other day. So make up your damn mind, people.
And so, to answer your question from earlier, Luke, yes, Perry will be back on weekly, but I think maybe next week. If not, I think
so. That like in a couple of weeks, we'll have our football lineup for the whole kit and caboodle. A lot of the same guys. So we're fired up about it. The family connection for Aiden Gibson is Uncle Ben Franklin, Cockweed says.
Yeah, that's right.
Awesome. All right, so Quantrill asked a good question. I'll address this getting to sports here on the show. JC, how are kids reclassifying so easily? Also, I need to study on kids reclassifying in football and the success rate. I don't know if it's high. Well, it was so rare before. Now it's getting – and now basketball, it's always been kind of there. Football, I see it more and more every day. I don't know. It hadn't been going on. So who's reclassified around here in football? Jake Mintley? I think he was good. Heck, he was good his first year.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
I mean, best quarterback on the roster, probably. If they'd have played early, he may have won another game or two. But I'll say this, and I'll give credit to a lot of high schools. They're doing a better job of telling kids what they need to take, especially starting like eighth grade. And then number two, Quantrell, athletes in general now have less grade problems than they once did. Now, some will say it's because school's easier than it once was, and maybe it is. I don't know. But this started about 10 years ago. You know, all of a sudden, you didn't hear as much about guys not qualifying. You'll still have some occasionally. But most kids now, you don't even hear about guys being, oh, he's going to be really close and qualifying. You don't even hear about that.
Yeah.
And I think society's become more educated. I think as we go through the years, my mom went back to college. You know, my dad did not go to college. It was way more common that you didn't go to college than you did. Now, all the parents are at college, and I guess I don't know. I guess it's set up a little better for kids to have better grades.
It's a little different. I don't know. Like, my eldest is a rising senior this year and had the option to graduate early, but chose to just go half a day all year long. So she gets off at noon, and I mean,
that's awesome.
That's awesome. Yeah, right. Yeah, she gets
early to
maintain her job. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, she gets to go pick her little sister up from elementary school, so I don't have to bother with that or with the bus.
Filled it. Let's do it. So, yeah, and GameCat 346, glancing at myself sideways here, I kind of do look like Willie Robinson.
A little bit.
Isn't he dead, though? No, he's alive. His dad died.
Yeah, Phil. Yeah.
Willie. I hope I'm as skinny as Willie. I don't ever stand up on this show for a reason. Anyway. Ethan says parents moving out of state for their kids to play defensive end.
Yeah. That's weird.
Gilmore, Stefan was an early enrollee, but yeah, that's early. That's December graduate. I thought Quantrell was talking about like,
yeah, the full reclass. Year. Yeah. 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 Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But, yeah, there's a lot of guys that come in December now. I mean, it's pretty common. It's just kind of known. Quantrell says, remember someone took the SAT for Derrick Rose. Good times. Yeah. Derrick Rose, man, around Chicago, it's like the saddest story ever.
Yeah.
Because, you know, he went to Memphis, balled out. I thought he was a great player, too.
He was fun to watch, man. I hated his knees. Just
drafted by the hometown team. And was the franchise was coming up again, and he just got hurt. Cockweed says these children will never know the anxiety we had in the offseason waiting to see if Derek Watson qualified. Demetra Summers, too.
Demetra Summers, yep.
Yeah, there were some anxious moments with a lot of guys, man. Mm-hmm. And back then, there was no portal or anything, obviously.
Nah, yeah.
And if you were weak at a position, especially Carolina situation, you know, you've got these running backs on campus that are average as grits or a box of doorknobs. Right. But you get the stud coming in who probably will start by game two, at least, you know, and they could change the whole complexity of your season and you're just coming down to the wire.
Well, yeah.
And it always went Carolina's way. Always went Clemson's way too. When they had some guys. Craig says Dante Reno. What was he super early? I don't remember.
I think he did reclassify. But kind of under the radar because he didn't start. Yeah.
Cameron says, remember, we were all anxious with Rasul Faison last year. And then, man, Cameron, I don't know. I tried to tell everybody, didn't I, Phil? Do you remember this? I'm not going to sit here and clap my hands like a seal and I'm so right. I thought Rasul was good. I thought. But a lot of people are like, it's the difference between 7 and 9 and 11 wins.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know that he makes that big of a difference. No. Marcus Lattimore was worth 2 more wins. Okay. All right.
Oh, yeah, I'd agree with that. Yeah. 2 solid wins for sure.
Well no, Marcus Lattimore was actually, because that was basically the same team from 2009 to 2010. A few differences here and there. Right.
Yeah.
So they were 7-6
right.
with Kenny Miles. The next year, they were 9-5 with Marcus Lattimore. You know, so Luke says, do you travel to Columbia a lot for the games? Yes, I do. I actually go to Columbia for work quite a bit. So Cameron brought a free Sewell shirt. Yeah. Well, look, I'll say this. I won't change my position that the NCAA was screwing with him.
Yeah, it should not have drug out that long. No.
Yeah. So, Quantrill says, Rasul Faison in this offense is probably second team all SEC. Fit matters. Yeah. He's a good fit for this one. Mm-hmm. So, by the way, if you're not a Big Spur member and you'd like to join up, you want a reason why? Jamie Bradford had an article today. So we report a lot from sources and intel and stuff, and it is anonymous, right? But we don't ever sit there and like anonymously quote people with huge agendas, like political anonymous sources. You hear complaints about that sometimes. It's usually, you know, good intel. You just don't want to, you know, you just want to do it anonymously. Well, he actually has quotes from, like, direct quotes from people in his running backs article. It's on the countdown today about the running back room.
Nice.
It's really, really good. I mean, it's real. Jamie had like a football and baseball intel piece last Monday.
Mm-hmm.
One of the best things I've ever read on a Gamecock website. I don't read my own stuff. I'm just kidding.
I don't read my own stuff. Because I don't read my own stuff.
Yeah. So, but yeah. You know, so there's some encouragement that I'll just say, I haven't seen it on the field, but like I tell everybody else when I'm trying to, you know, believe it when I see it, well, that's everything in football, man.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, we just talked to, you know, one of the best prognosticators in the country, in Brett Ciancia, and, doing a mid-year checkup with him, he's probably going to be wrong about half of it. And he does all his research and does a great job.
That's right, yeah. And he's been the best 10 years running. He's not going to nail it.
Now, I'm going to say this, okay. So I brought this up, and I was worried that when I made that point, he thought I was pushing back on him, and I wasn't. I understand what he's saying. You go in the portal and you get 5 starters from the SEC, that's good. But here's who these people are. Tyree Adams. At LSU last year. Not very good. Looks like $1 million. Not very good. Beside him, Cohen Echols. Also LSU. Mm. They were not very good. Now, Mark Naboo, their center, is good. He's a good player. He's from Washington State. Washington State, Linwood, Seattle. Went to O'Day High School. One of those kids, A&M, sometimes will get out of the West. He's just a baller. I love their center. Beside him is Trevon Ball, who I wish the best to. He's up to 6'4" now, up from 6'2", and 335, according to the roster. So
big old boy.
Mm-hmm. That's a big old boy. Yeah.
He was just inconsistent. I liked him, but
couldn't.
Inconsistent.
Well, but he didn't move all that well. I don't
know. Well, that's true. He was not very fleet of foot.
And then our right tackle's Wilkin Formby from who's actually from Tuscaloosa. Went to Bama and left. I don't know, man. Will this be one of those things where Formby's probably missing Bama and Bama's probably missing him? I don't know. But that's, you know, this is what happens to Texas A&M sometimes, is that they win, they're good. They have a blue chip ratio, by the way, that's the second highest in the SEC at 67.4%, behind Georgia at 68.6%. A lot of A&M's through the portal, but I mean, if you believe that, I mean, they've got enough talent. I mean, Reuben Owens is back again. He's been there 17 years. Reed's back. You know, you have, the kid, Mario Craver's unbelievable. And then Isaiah Horton comes in from Alabama, who's really good. Or Texas. Where was he still at Alabama? Yeah, Miami. He went to Miami last year. Anyway, I they've got ballers on offense. But so did South Carolina last year. So did LSU last year in their offensive line. What good. So did Alabama last year. And if it weren't for Ty Simpson, I don't know, man. Mm-hmm. He's got to do it. So, oh, my goodness. Ethan says outside of Rocket, running backs have been so disappointing under Beamer. I think the running back coaching and I don't know. I mean, like in 20, back in like the first 2 years, the inconsistency of how that offense was operated had as much to do with it as injuries as anything, right?
Yeah.
You know, Kevin Harris was banged up in 2021 and came back and did some. Quandre White should have probably been playing more. You know, Marshawn Lloyd didn't really get a shot coming off the knee injury. The next year, remember Lloyd was like all world
Man,
for two games?
Right. Yeah. Right.
And then he bruised his thigh against Missouri and mysteriously just disappeared, came back from the Clemson game.
Didn't do much. And then departed.
But that line was horrible. You know, 23, they didn't have any running backs. I would argue, Ethan, though, that Mario Anderson was not disappointing. I think he surpassed expectations. 24, Rocket. Last year, I think I will definitely say the running backs last year, even with the offensive line issues, were major disappointments. I just expected a little more, even with. And sometimes you got to break a tackle, man.
Right.
And sometimes when you're running zone, it's up to you to find the space. Right. Those running backs got to find where to go. And sometimes they just didn't. But hey, you know, we're not back there running out of that line. Who the hell knows? Thank God they're all gone. I mean, most of them.
Yeah. Well, you know.
And I know, look, it's just disappointing because those guys all had so much potential.
Right.
And maybe it was coaching and development, but those guys clearly, and the way some of them left too, was like, oh, are you sure it's not, you know, you're just really saying it's not your fault? That's right. Yeah. And you want more money? Okay.
All right.
Well, you deserve this. It's not right. It's not anybody else's fault.
No, right.
I mean, it's not your fault at all. It's everybody else's fault. Hey, okay. All right, bro. Cool story, bro.
Cool story, bro.
346 is, I hate Mario Anderson didn't come back. I do think in 2024, Mario and Sam Rocket would have been a heck of a 1-2 punch. Mm-hmm. But Oscar Attaway had a good year that year. I mean, you know, Oscar Attaway kind of was what he was. All right. Ethan says Beamer didn't play him the whole year. That was coaching. Are you talking about Anderson? Well, the first game, but he ended up being the starter. So, Far ask about dating tapes, VHS dates.
There is one I know for sure. We have not.
We'll do that on. We're going to do that.
Yeah, we'll revive it Friday with Matt.
Yeah, how about Friday? We promise a VHS. We guarantee a VHS.
That's date. Right. I like
it. All right. TD Null says, Buddy, thanks to ceiling for Carolina's 8 wins. I believe that's the floor. Ceiling's 11. I can see 10-2. Yeah, the ceiling is higher than 8. The ceiling. All right. So, all right. We'll talk about that on the other side. By the way, it is National Chicken Wing Day. So go to these wings. And this is also the special day, 18 wings, a pitcher of beer, $29.
$29. Yeah.
Today's check the out day. These wings. My stepson says it's the best food in the world. Now, he ain't been to Thailand yet. We're going there at some point. He's not a connoisseur of international cuisine, Phil. However,
when it comes to
these wings, really good. Now, TD forces, Ethan made a dating tape and sent it to Jason. I don't know, man. Ethan's a professional. You know, he's got that headshot. That's right. I doubt he's doing it. Tomorrow, Frederick adds in. Tomorrow is National Cheesecake Day. Another one of my favorite things. All right, we gotta go. I talked through that whole shit, that whole song, and I shouldn't have. It's got some bad words in it. We'll be back after this.
Welcome back, everybody, inside the Gamecocks, the show. Rolling on here, final segment of the show here on a wide open Wednesday. Hop in the McKellar Enterprises chat box and sound off on Wednesdays, usually reserved for Club Chief members, but not today.
Not today.
It's a free for all. I love it.
It is a free for all. Quantrell, good question here in the chat box. What was I going to talk about? My short term memories.
Floors
and ceilings. Yeah, I didn't put a ceiling on last year's team. It's a, and I took the easy way out. There's no easy way out. There's no thought control. Anyway, I took the easy way out because I went back and said, you know, the ceiling really was about 8. And the reason I did, I think it's worth mentioning because you got to kind of go back and look at it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I've said it before. Every team, a lot of people are talking about Ole Miss being down, A&M being down. You know, A&M, we talked about their schedule and how, I mean, you know, when you play Auburn, Florida, South Carolina, going into last year, you're like, oh, Hugh Freeze has got all this talent. He's got to win at some point. Auburn's going to be good. You got a great defense. They'll score enough points. Florida, Billy Napier, they had the big finish the year before. They're going to be good. Some people are talking playoff for the Gators, Carolina, you know, and you're like, A&M's got a tough one, right? A&M's got a tough schedule.
Yeah.
They got to go to Missouri. Oh, my God. You know, that quarterback, Bo Pribula, that I can't pronounce. I know, Craig, you don't have to, you know, please don't correct me because you did it all last year and I never got it. He's hurt. You know, I mean, and so much of it now, especially with 9 games, which is ridiculous. You know, and how they rotated every year, you just don't know. A lot of your success in the SEC, unless you're like a Teflon program like Georgia, is going to depend on what the 6 teams that roll in your schedule in a given year that are different every other year are like. And they can be a lot more different than maybe in a normal 2-year period because of the portal. I mean, here at LSU, she had 50 new players. How do you know? We don't know. I mean, you know. And so looking back on it, I think that team last year, even with a competent offensive plan, is probably 8 wins. There were some deficiencies on defense, too. Mm-hmm. They did take a step back on defense. Now, that defense, I'm prouder of that defense than the 2024 defense. As far as just, boy, these guys went out there and in a tough situation and played resilient and tough. 2024 obviously was a better defense, but these guys, I mean, you got guys like Nick Barrett elevated his game. Goodwin elevated his game. Peyton Williams at times elevated his game. You know, the linebackers were young, you know, Dylan Stewart played with a broken back. You know, those guys played their hearts out all year. And I think the thought going in was, well, Lenoris is a year older. You got more talent around him. The line's a year older. It can't be any worse. You just go keep doing what you're doing last year and get better and better at it. So the offense, if the defense can just be like they were, we'll be fine. But the problem was the other teams were really good. And so the schedule would have ended up catching Carolina. Oklahoma did not stay down, you know, I mean, that kind of thing. And so it's hard to say. So I'll say again, there's no ceiling on what could happen this year, but I'll also say it largely depends on, you know, some key areas. There's less projections. Like, in other words, like last year, you're like, man, if Nick Barrett doesn't get significantly better and Monkel doesn't get significantly better, hopefully Troy Pikes is just a stud. And I mean, you know, you're sitting there thinking about all that in your mind. But this year, there's less questions because there's more returning players. You know, I think South Carolina has a chance to be really good. And I think there's no reason why they shouldn't be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even with I wrote this on the Big Spur when I had my offensive line intel piece yesterday. I think best case scenario for this offensive line is this. They need to be an overachieving, hard-nosed outfit that just goes to battle every day and has short memories. Because on the offensive line, in this league, you're going to have bad days. You can get your butt beat, and they need to just forget about it and move on. Don't let it snowball. And they got a bunch of tough dudes. So just go fight. Take the fight to the other team on offense, just like you do on defense and special teams. Take the fight to them, and that includes the line. And I think things will work out. They're not going to be perfect. Lenoris will get pressured this year. Right. There will be a running back thrown for a 3-yard loss solo by some monster that comes crashing through the A-gap or something. I mean, it's going to happen. Georgia's on the schedule, for God's sake. I mean, you know, this is going to happen over the course of the game. The idea is to get out there and battle. And I think this bunch can do that. But I think this team can be quite good. You know, we'll see what it looks like once the season gets here. But I think just on paper, they made a lot of great moves and things that make sense. Ethan's not going to be dating Ronnie and taking her to Mazatlan, by the way.
I don't know, Ethan, man. I think you're missing out on a good time there, bud.
Me too, because she's fun. Lux Legacy, JC, I'm a Jawaan Howell homer. Still think he will surprise us this year. Yeah, I think Jawaan Howell and Isaiah Augusta both, and along with Christian Clark, and I mean, Jawaan will play this year if he, you know, if he continues to go on the path that he and Isaiah were on in spring.
Yeah.
There's just four of them. Good news again about the offense. It's hard to play four. It's hard to play three and get them significant carries. You can do it. The only team I saw rotate four successfully was this is 2021 Georgia that won the first national championship.
Oh my God. Yeah. I mean,
they did a great job. They had four and they rotated them all, and you didn't know what was coming when they were in. Cause that's the problem too. If you have different styles of backs, and you put one guy in and, oh, you're going to throw a swing pass every time he's in. Okay. Well, that's easy to dissect. Carolina's backs physically and skill set wise are very similar. They can all run the same thing. I wouldn't run Matt Fuller wide like you tried to do against Ole Miss last year.
Right.
Maybe you can now. I don't know. But I'm a Jawaan Howell homer as well, Lux Legacy. Cockweed says Brett Bielema, BD Bielema. He has become a flamethrower. I'm here for it. I know Carolina got kind of caught up in it, but I'm here for it. But hey, you know what's flattering? So now he's beating Tennessee too, so he's really talking.
Oh yeah, yeah. Right.
But for the year before last year, his entire bragging about the SEC being down was pulling that substitution crap and having a weird game where
gaming the system and antagonizing the opposing game in the
system, and then beats Carolina. So hey, it's a badge of honor when other schools are like, you know what, we're really the entire SEC is overrated because we beat South Carolina. That tells you that means something. I'm glad. I mean, they celebrated in Champaign for days about that.
I mean, you know, you don't hear that when about the Big Ten if Wake Forest were to beat Rutgers. Let's just say this.
But I'll say this too. I think Illinois thought they were going to be the next Indiana. Psych.
Nope.
Psych. They went to Indiana, dude. And I remember thinking, they're getting 7 points. I'm jumping on that.
Yeah, that's right.
I put $10 instead of $5 on that one.
Hey.
I look up, it's 63-9.
Oh, God. Indiana. Yeah, that was like, a blowout. Oh, my God. Yeah.
I was like, jeez. Mike, one guy was basically saying TCU and West Virginia can't generate enough value to hang with Notre Dame or Ohio State in the Super League. Envisions at most 48 TV. Well, whoever that is, I mean, some of these people don't really understand college football. They're coming at it from one of three ways. Number one, they don't understand college football and the value. Number two, they are European soccer fans that want to import sports. I mean, America's the greatest sports country on earth. Why would you import rules and concepts from a foreign land? Why? They import our sports, baseball, you know, basketball, you know, ask the sports fans in Europe, you know, why would you do something like, oh yeah.
Yeah, well, that's to satisfy those, because the idea is you want that whole bottom of that Super League to just churn every year. That way, everybody outside of it has a shot. If you're not deserving, you get booted down.
That's dumb. We have enough off-season drama. Dumb. And then politics are going to play. I mean, hey, somebody gets booted from the Super League because they went 2-24. They're going to sue to get back in the Super League. I mean, exactly. This is America. It doesn't. I mean,
that's a drastic overreaction to allowing group of six teams in a playoff.
Now, I say, you know, I mean, the only fair way to do any kind of relegation and promotion would be to base it on geography, like a formula. like high schools do, you know, like your student body. I don't even know how you do that because you can recruit anywhere you want.
Yeah.
I just don't get it. Kicking TCU and West Virginia to the curb would be the death of college football greatness. I agree. Those are great college football brands. TCU, T-Far says, missed the former era of college football. Went to a Newberry game last year. And it felt like old times, just guys playing for the love of the game. My wife, the best college football game I saw last year, yep. The best one, the most competitive one, where both teams were trying to win at all times. And nobody talks about this. I like to tell us the ratings are through the roof, blah, blah, blah. Which is accurate. Yeah. And it's healthy financially. But and there are some very competitive, exciting games. Was Illinois State versus Idaho State or Montana State for the national
FCS championship. Wasn't it?
I got up that morning I got off the show that afternoon. I drove to Bloomington, Illinois to buy some Redbirds gear. It's my wife's alma mater. They're terrible at football historically. Not good at all. Mm-hmm. I mean, FCS level, Eastern Illinois has been good. Tony Romo played there, you know. Western Illinois, where my brother actually, one of the Sherberts was up here, hooking up with babes before I was, hooking up with an Illinois babe before I was. My brother Jason went to Western Illinois because his wife, ex-wife now, was from Illinois. But so they've been good at football. Southern Illinois has been good at football. Illinois State never. It's been a basketball school. So they lose four games, barely get in the playoffs. They go all the way to the finals. Bunch of Chicagoland kids, like the high school football I watched all year last year. They played their hind ends off. Because Montana State had more talent, right?
Yeah, right.
But Montana State played just as hard. It was a 35-34 game in Nashville right down to the wire. And I think a blocked extra point cost them the Redbirds. And my wife cried. She hadn't watched a game all year. Nope. I mean, you know, it's not a football, you know. And that's honestly, T4, that was the best football. I looked at her. I said that the next day. I was like, that's the best thing ever. And, you know, so they got to find a way for players to get money, but for them to keep the passion. If you don't know why NFL guys are passionate, you'll turn on an NFL game late in the year between two teams that have no future. And they're out there knocking each other in the next week, pounding their chest. They're fired up to play. You know why?
Contracts.
Contracts are not guaranteed. You will get fired. You will get fired. If you're just getting cut. They'll just cut you.
Yep.
Sorry. Oh, you pulled up on that tackle twice. You're making businesses. All right, we'll take your business elsewhere. Sorry.
Sorry. Not sorry.
Go Wolves, Farr says. Ethan says we'll beat Kent State, won't blow them out. We tend to struggle. He's 28-13.
Whew.
And I don't even want to come in. Thank God we're off Labor Day if Carolina wins.
Oh, that is true. That is true. But it'd be like it's going to feel like the Akron game on Tuesday, man. Nobody wants to relive that.
What, you know? Luke says, can any college OC be good if they have really good players, Mike Bobo? Let me just tell you about his 1 year here because I hear this a lot. He did the best job of any offensive coordinator that's been here since Spurrier that 1 year.
Considering what he had to work with,
considering, right? Because look, Carolina still manufactured a passing game somehow with Colin Hill and then Luke Doty after that. One receiver in Shy Smith. Somehow Mike Bobo schemed him open. How does he do that? Everybody knows you just got to stop Shy. I don't even know who the other receiver was. Xavier Leggett got hurt in the Florida game. Nobody said anything. Bobo had to tell Will didn't say anything about it. But you know, Jalen Brooks was not ready to play at this level. Yeah. And then they had Big Nick Energy Muse at tight end. So he had a tight end.
Big Nick Energy.
He had a tight end. He had the same offensive line Shane inherited the next year that wasn't very good. He had those quarterbacks, and he had Kevin Harris and Deshaun Fenwick. Yet somehow there were games. The Ole Miss game, Muschamp's final, that was 59-42. Carolina had a 42. They put 42. Freaking Colin Hill was 15-19 in the first half. I mean, Kevin Harris ran for 1,000 yards. I mean,
right. Right.
So, Mike, but Georgia fans don't like him either. You know what Kirby Smart said, who knows a lot about football. You know, he says about that. I'm giving him an extension.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, you know
and
what?
And if you watch them last year, man, like when they needed to go score points, like the twice, I guess when their defense was struggling, Ole Miss, Tennessee, they did it. They did it.
Yeah.
You know, and they didn't. I like Frazier and their backs. I don't know that they're the elite backs we've seen Georgia with.
No.
Oh, gosh. Bryce says, I would assume if Beamer lost his job, Clayton White would take over. I couldn't see it be anyone else. He's the longest tenured coach. Yeah, it'd be up to Donati if it was midseason. But
I don't know. I wouldn't.
Stan Drayton's the associate head coach, which is supposed to be the guy.
That might just be the one you kind of just assume takes that role, right? Yeah.
It could be Kendall Briles,
too. But yeah, that's what I was about to say is I wouldn't be surprised, though, even then, if
he's the head coach's
name is Briles.
But look, I don't. It's not going to happen.
No.
If it happens, if it's to the point where that needs to happen. Now, and I'm not talking, you know, like, because there's going to be a debate. Like, let's say they have massive injuries and like five of the top seven players are out for the year. That happens in football sometimes. It's just a luck of the draw. I mean, that's going to be a debate. How do you, can't fire, I mean, I don't know. You know, when you fire him based on past mistakes? I don't know. But if everything's okay, injury-wise, and I'm not just talking about Peak and Stewart. I'm talking about, like, you'd have to have a lot of injuries.
Right, yeah.
If this team goes out there with that new offense and everything else and goes 4-8, poorly coached, I don't know how you don't. But I think that's it's a very unlikely scenario.
Yeah, I just don't see that. Like, I mean, obviously, like you say, it's all about scenarios, but that is the least probable, yeah. I would think, with – I mean, but yeah, I don't know. Holding out more hope.
Karen says, was Ortre Smith in that Bubba offense? No, he was out by that point. Ortre was. Or hurt, or he wasn't there in 2020. He opted out in 2020, remember?
I was gonna say,
he opted out at the beginning of the year.
Was it Brooks?
Jalen Brooks got eligible before LSU and then ran a slant and got jammed and it was a pick.
Yep. Yeah.
That was a bad LSU team, too. Yeah. We're going to beat South Carolina, that's for sure. Cockley says, Demetria Romanos and Ovi said, Carolina, Mississippi State wouldn't be included in the Super League. Who are these Demetrius and Ovi? They're idiots. Hey, look, if not, fine. Go dominate the next level. Or sue. Or sue.
Just sue.
I mean, you can't. You start to. Cogley's like, I said out loud, this ain't the EPL, bro. No. And you know, people that say crap like that, you know, they don't know anything about market. I mean, they don't know that South Carolina draws way more than like Ole Miss. They just know Ole Miss good last year. Carolina 4-8. They've never been to South Carolina. They haven't looked at the population demographics. You know, the state of South Carolina is the sixth largest populated state in the SEC footprint.
Bigger than Oklahoma, bigger than Mississippi, bigger than, you know, I mean,
if you look at the ratings, yes, the teams that win, duh, tend to play the bigger games, duh, so they get on network TV, duh, so they have better ratings, duh. How are we going to get me all upset before I'm going to see Guns N' Roses? I think I'll find out who these guys are. Hey, on your head.
That's right.
Instead of get in the ring.
Yeah, that should have done.
Prager was excited about Orchard and they got him. Yeah, a really good freshman year, too. He and Shy had the same number of receptions, that chronic knee issue. That oh, my goodness. Ed mentions play close to the vest, open up the play against Mississippi State. I don't think that's going to happen. If you look at Browse, and I don't. Even if they're just running their basic stuff, it's catch up with you pretty quick if you're defense.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's the thing about this offense, too, is it could look like you're throwing the book at them and then look like you're throwing a different book at the next team the next week, even though it's basically the same thing.
Yeah. All right. For the Mad Dog Film All Next, thanks to Brett Ciancia from Pick Six Previews. No coffee in the morning. Be back Friday with some very special coffee for you. I'll be off tomorrow, taking a day off, going to do some yard work and recover from the concert.
That's right.
It's going to be quite fun. Take me down to the Paradise City where the grass is green and the girls are pretty. I read something funny one day. It wasn't for me. I'm not taking credit for this, but they said Guns N' Roses definition of paradise. Grass normal color and pretty girls.
Pretty girls.
All right.
Regular grass.
Regular grass color. Love it. All right, folks. See you. I'll see you Friday on the show. ITG morning show. Everything else will be back tomorrow. Be sure to check out thepigspur.com, fourquarterfriday.com for high school sports coverage. We're out. Holla.